right, so you probably have heard that the inauguration of family courts of in Rivers State, following the signing into law of the Child Rights Act, the state governor, Yinsu Wike, inaugurated the family courts. This was 2 days ago. Speaking during the inauguration, the governor urged the judges to ensure that the cases brought before the family courts are without emotion. He said cases should be treated based on merit. You probably heard of that before. But, you know, for us this morning, our focus is on the Child Rights Act in itself. You know, it took a while for the act to spread across Nigeria. Now, as far as I can tell, as of today, at least 30 of the states in Nigeria have adopted the Child Rights Act, you know, domesticating it into their various constitution. Now, one of the issues, one of the things that the right does have is that it mandates that a child, at least when it's concerned, their best interest is taken as precedent. The best thing for the child. Now, joining me this morning is Eva Amadi. Eva Amadi is a practitioner, a legal practitioner here in Port Harcourt. We have a few minutes to get to her and find out how this particular law, this Child Rights Act, should make things work here in River State. Ms. Amadi, good morning to you, please.
Good morning, Jude.
Good morning. Thank you very much for joining us on the program. Hello, can you hear us, please?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, all right, thank you.
I can hear you.
Okay, thank you very much for being on the line. All right, so the Child Rights Act adopted now, localized by the River State government 2 days ago. Many have been championing for this act to be signed into law for years now. I know even FIDA has been on the forefront of this. Now, what does it exactly mean for the average or the regular resident in River State? What does it mean that this, now that this act has been signed?
Okay, so I'm basically excited about it. We're glad that it definitely took such a step, and we're looking forward to having better days, in the sense that I was trying to create some awareness of this Child Rights Act. A lot more people will be informed that it's no longer business as usual when it comes to how they handle children, basically, and people generally too.
Okay, so it's not just business as usual. Now, I'm very sure you, like many other Nigerians, many other Rivers persons, you've heard of stories that brought through, you know, in fact, some of your colleagues who work with FIDA, you know, have been in the forefront, you know, handling cases of child abuse, sexual molestation, and things like that. Very recently, there was a picture of a child who was flogged to the point that they had marks on the child's back. And this was in Rivers State. Now, a lot of people have asked in the past, and they asked me, like, look, all this one people are talking about child rights. What exactly, can we not flog a child? What exactly does it entail? How exactly should people be handling children? If you can share some insight on that.
We need to understand that children are young people first. Most of these people who are asking questions of how do we handle our children, shouldn't we beat them? Or shouldn't they be flogged? So there's a limit to everything. There's a thin line between actually beating up a child and torture. There's a real thin line. There's something called beating a child in a manner that is reasonable. Even the child will know that, oh, my mom or my dad did this to me because I did something wrong. You know, but when you go from correcting a child with a cane and get into torture, that's two different things altogether, Judah, and sincerely, it's not acceptable. That's the difference.
Okay, so
we're not saying don't correct at all, but you should know when to stop. More like it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So parents should know when to stop. Now, one of the parts of the Child Rights Act says it's talking about how the child shall be protected. Now, it includes protection from child marriages, as well as punishments for acts to the adult parties. Other protections include not being harmed, not being marked with tattoos, or from sexual violence, being shielded from exploitative behavior. Now, let's talk a bit about this exploitative behavior. And if you're just joining us, Ms. Amadi is my guest this morning. Eva Amadi, a legal practitioner here in Port Harcourt. Now, we've seen stories, and a lot of people in this country are used to seeing, you know, children who come from the village, they come and they help, you know, parents take care of their own children and whatnot. Some say, oh, we want to train this child, you know, the child will come and stay with us, and the child will go to school, and then the child will now grow up and hopefully they go away. But a lot of people have said that that doesn't happen. Now, with the Child Rights Act, would how would such things be mitigated? Because people need help. Not everybody can afford school. And yes, people have to be, in as it were, their brother's keeper. But abuse in this case, how would this law help reduce that?
Okay, Section 28 of the Child Rights Act provides for prohibition of exploitative labor. Like I said initially, it's the limit to everything, you know. This kind of labor simply means other forms of exploitation. Example, there are different forms of when it has to do with children and the child. We see people who move around on the street, for example, move around every day. We see people begging children. When I mean children, some are like 2 years, 3 years to 7 or something on the streets begging for arms. That's exploitative and it's prohibited by this Child Rights Act. There are also cases where we see younger children lead older people who are probably blind to also beg for arms, you know. And then there are cases of prostitution, domestic and sexual labor. This is not allowed. These are some of the examples of exploitative labor. Let's bring it home to what is very prostitution is more like it's hidden. People don't do it and let every other person outside see that is happening. But the one that is very prevalent in society is that of domestic child labor. And that's where most of us are hinging our excitement on, like, oh, we can't wait, you know. It's very wrong to bring in someone's child into your house, even your own child. And then you begin to misuse them. I call it this. You begin to misuse children. I see kids out on the streets at 8 p.m., 9 p.m., 10 p.m.
8 p.m.
Selling food, 8, 9, and 10. Selling foodstuffs. Yes, you see them on roadside. They're out there selling. Sometimes they have a guardian, sometimes they're all by themselves. You see kids on the streets, on the express road, hawking all manner of things, water, sweets, and all that. On the extras, and there are cars coming in speed up, you know, and everybody's just trying to be careful. There are cases where they've also been knocked down and they've died, you know, they've lost their lives. And nothing. One driver knocked him over, and before they could see Jack Robinson, the driver escaped. You know, these are things that shouldn't be allowed.
Okay,
but it's mostly. Okay, please go ahead.
I'm sorry, but you know, you mentioned something that I think a lot of people resonate with, and that's, you know, children, you know, at night. I can't remember the last time I saw that, but I think you're very correct. Children at night, you know, selling at the junctions, helping their maybe aunties or their uncles sell food, you know, fish and all of that. But let me ask, what if they are the children of these men and women, these vendors, right, who work at night? What if they are their children? Their mom is the one cooking the food and then they're helping the mother sell. Is that exploitative?
This is exploitative. Basically, what is child labor? But like, child labor is a work that doesn't deprive the child of their dignity. That's the simple truth. Them helping their parents out at night, 8 p.m., 9 p.m., does it preserve their dignity? I mean, at home, already sleeping. I'm trying to refresh themselves for the next day to go to school. So that a mother or a father doesn't give you a right to treat them that way. That's a business that is being meant to be handled. Elderly people. Adults, not children. The child has no business on the street selling with you at night. There is a child can be helping the mom out, let's say you're back from school and the mom has a shop, which can actually oversee what you're doing and what's going on with you. It's not like you're being abandoned all by yourself in the shop. Someone can come there and pick you up. And anything could just go wrong, you know.
Mm.
But your mom is with you in the shop. You're back from school. You're doing your homework. And they're like, okay, can you just help me drift? And at 6, she knows, okay, you need to go home. That's reasonable. At 6:30, or you're getting late, or I quickly run away, leave this place, go home. That's reasonable.
But you know, as we have these conversations now, I'm going to open the phone lines after the break and just engage with the listener. You know, some listeners have called in the past and said, look, the economy is hard. I sold Gary with my mom when I was small. I have an uncle who hawked on the streets of Enugu back in the 70s.
Sorry to cut you. The question is that someone stole and earned a life. Does it make stealing right? Okay.
that's a bit of a tight one there. And once again, the law seems to be bereft of emotions. It's all about facts here. But
yeah.
I know we're going to get a lot of these questions, and it's sad to see the disparity between what is on ground, what is very common within our locale, and what is actually, at least right now, that you have the Child Rights Act being signed. So once again, for the sake of clarity, parents who have their children walk with them at night to sell food, particularly children, well, we're talking about underage children, right? So from...
underage children.
So from under 18, I believe?
Yes.
Okay, so once the individual is under 18, is regarded as a minor?
Yes, it's still a minor.
Okay, and so such an individual shouldn't be at Rumosi Junction selling rice and stew at 9 p.m.
True. The truth is, if you're privileged to talk to those kids, you begin to wonder, they're not happy, you know, and this, putting them out there is actually messing with their mental health. That's the truth. It affects their mental development also. At this point in time, their brain should actually begin to settle in for like, even if you're not at home sleeping, but you're relaxed. You're not going to any form of hurdles trying to get anything done. So it messes with their mental health. It affects them physically or even socially. You can imagine how you're out there at 8 p.m. Let's say, for example, a family is coming back from church with their parents, and then they're all in the car and they park, and that's your classmate in the car, and you have to send money to his mom or something. As a child, how do you feel going back to school the next morning? And maybe nobody even knows what your mom does to pay your fees in the school you attend. We're not saying you should be ashamed, but the timing is late. Problem, the timing. We're not saying don't assist at all. But socially, these things have impacts in children. Psychologically, it has impacts in them, mentally. So he goes to class the next day feeling inferior because he's worried if his classmate has told other people that, oh, I saw Junior or I saw John selling my mom ran away from school. And it was John's mommy, and John came and told my mom to us. Was wearing tattered shorts. You know, the picture generally doesn't just create a good mindset for a child, generally speaking.
Okay, all right. Once again, Eva Madi is being my guest this morning, highlighting how important the Child Rights Act is going to be for River State. I would like to thank you for at least explaining why it's important. And I dare say you've probably stepped on some people's toes this morning, talking about people who have their children come through. But it's the law, and we have to abide by the law, yes. Hello, Eva.
I can hear you, Jim.
Okay, all right.
It's the law. You have to abide by the law.
All right, indeed.
It's for their own good also, for the good of the children.
All right. Thank you very much, Eva and Miley, for speaking to us this morning. It's been a pleasure having you join us. So we'll go on a break. When we return, ladies and gentlemen, I'll open the phone lines for about 10 or 15 minutes because I still have one or two things to do before we leave this morning. And... find out if you are ready to obey the law.
we take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts.
Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, welcome back to the show, 92.3 Nigerian Fools. Hello, Port Harcourt. My name still is Jude Omamigbe. Now, we're talking about Charles Wright this morning, and we're looking at the adoption. Finally, it's been signed here in Rivers State. Now, the governor spoke on this, inaugurating the family court. In fact, he had a few things. Let me play what the governor said for you.
You see, it's also not to bring emotion when we are presiding over this matter. It has nothing to do because of the woman. It has nothing to do because Jonathan is a man. Because I listened carefully when you said that one of these matters were handling, that the prosecution was no longer coming, and then defendant had to say, my Lord, look, everyone are carrying on going their normal business.
Yes.
What do you want the defendant to do? He should be coming every day when the prosecution will not come. So we should be careful not to bring emotion. Yes, we're human.
Yes, the human. The family court is there to address those issues surrounding the family. It should be human. And that's one of the things coming through now that the child's right has been adopted. My guest is still here with us. Eva Amadi, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jude.
Good morning. Now, the governor said, look, he's happy that this has been signed, and was advising, you know, as regarding the family court and things like that. But if we can, we have just about 8 or 10 minutes. I'd like for you to stress a bit on some of the punishments that could slated for crimes committed against a child in Rivers State now.
Okay, so let me just read a few things so you can get it clearly. Section 31 of the Child Rights Law of Rivers State prohibits everyone from buying or selling a child for the purpose of begging, prostitution, domestic violence, domestic or sexual labor, death, bond, or slavery. Section 21, subsection C, prohibits the use of children for hawking of goods and services. Section 21, subsection D, also prohibits any purpose that deprives the child of the opportunity to attend and remain in school as provided under the compulsory basic education law. Now, in all of these, any person who contravenes this section commits an offense and is liable for imprisonment for a term of 10 years.
10 years?
10 years. Yes, 10 years. No. It doesn't matter if you're the mother of the child or the father or a guardian or a caregiver or something. The law applies to everybody.
Okay, so the law applies to everybody. 10 years is a long time in any language. That's a decade.
It's very long.
And that's if prosecution is carried out. Now, you mentioned the law stated from the subsections that you read that using a child for a bond, that you can't sell a child to pay a debt.
Yes.
You can also use a child. You know, you can also buy a child for the purpose of prostitution or hawking.
True.
Once again, I have to make
Section 21 sub-C.
Yes?
Yeah, Section 21 sub-C prohibits using children for hawking of goods and services.
But, Eva, a lot of these children state that it's their mommy or their daddy or their aunties that sent them. These are people who are struggling to meet and they are coping or trying to cope with the very harsh economic climates that they are expressing or they're experiencing, rather. So are you stating that a father or a mother could go to prison by for sending his son or daughter out to hawk on the streets?
Yes, I didn't say so. The law says so, Jude.
I see.
That's what the law says.
Okay.
That's what the law says.
I'm going to open the phone lines now. We have a few minutes. Let's engage our guests this morning. Some of you have already sent in your questions to the WhatsApp number. These are the numbers to use. Smart number 0700923 0923. Please, that's the number I'd prefer you to use so that we can use these other lines to engage with our guest. 0700923 0923. WhatsApp and Telegram available on 0809030 6416. 0809030 6416. That's the WhatsApp number. Then follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at Nigeria Info PH, at Nigeria Info PH for Facebook and for Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. There's a huge cultural disparity now. The Child Rights Act has been adopted in a River State. Some people are already shaking in their boots. Some people are already challenging and saying this might not work, at least from the conversation that I had yesterday. Now, Eva, first question coming to you this morning is this. Hello, can you hear us, please?
I can hear you.
Okay, all right. Now, someone is saying now that there's a court, a family court in River State, can I sue my baby mama in the child rights court for denying me access to the children? Hello? Hello, Eva?
Can you take that again, please?
Okay.
So, can you take that again,
the question,
please?
The question that came in earlier on says, can I sue my baby mama in the child rights court for denying me access to the children?
Yes, you can.
Okay, all right. I think that's answered the question for that fellow. Okay, this one here says, good morning. You come to Onea and see children selling pineapple and banana at 8 p.m. That's Liberty. So that's corroborating what my guest had made mention of earlier on. 92.3. Hello, Port Harcourt. Good morning, please. Oh, dear. Apologies. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello, good morning, please.
Morning, Awadi from
Angola. Welcome. What's your question?
My question is like this now. If this law now, man having said, maybe they send the parents of the child to prison, who will now look after the children?
Okay. That's a very interesting question. Eva, did you get to hear him, please?
I heard something about if the court sends the parents of the children to prison, who take care of the child?
Yes.
That's a very good question. It simply goes back to after for the parents. It's your duty to take care of your children. Yes, that's of the duty of a parent to take care of a child until they become adults. So until the child has no business taking care of themselves, you owe them a duty of care. Take care of them. That's what the answer is.
Yeah, I do know that they owe them a duty of care, but now that the law says, look, if you put a child on the street to hawk, you are liable to go to prison. If the child goes to prison, who then takes care of the child? Would the child be sent? Obviously, I don't think the child will be sent to prison along with the mother and the father.
Would the parents rather prefer to go to prison than not putting the child out there? If you should commit a crime and ask what happened to your children if for committing a crime? That's what the question sounds to me like. You know, you've been told not to rob, so you actually wake up, you're broke, you don't have money to pick up a gun, walk into the bank to steal money, and when you're caught, you say, I stole to feed my children, Jude. It's the same question he's asking. There's no reason to commit. There's a law saying you cannot do this. You just abide. It's that simple.
Well, just abide. I mean, that child will be left alone to fend for its, for his or herself. 92.3. Hello, Port Harcourt. Good morning, please.
Hello. My name is Goodluck.
Good morning, Goodluck. Welcome.
I really appreciate the app. Yeah, I mean, support. Though the government should try as well to balance up this in such a way that it will favor the children and the parents. if I should reflect back myself in those days at my pain, I realized that after my maternal grandfather died, I was taken by my aunt. According to her, she promised my mom that she would enroll me in school. But when I went there, the story became very different. No school, no nothing. That I ended up going into this salt mangrove swamp, packing firewood, like she fetched firewood. And for over 5 years, I stayed. There was no schooling. And I can tell you, it's equally affecting me. So if government have put things in place, I think as a child, I know I should have no way to channel my crystal. And this should also be brought to the rural area. Let it not be there at the urban area alone. You know, talking about this issue of children hawking, if you get close to these children, you discover that most of those children that hawk in the street, their lives sometimes doesn't seem to be normal. Like, you see them having questionable characters, seriously. Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, you see them being very rude, very insulting. They talk to adults, very insulting, based on the kind of people they associate with. I tell you, don't doubt me that some of them can even serve as informants to some of these people that are troubling the area. And it's not a joke. So somehow that aspect is not like, I know of a child, till date as I'm talking to you, during school the child will be out talking. And because this one we are talking about is no mother. And I was like, what is happening? Like, I comforted the mom. The mom said, forget, what about my elder brother that was trained in school? Today he's not even taking care of anybody. What is the need of training some of these people in school? Let him hug. Let him make money from it. So I was like, what is happening? So I think this is good. But
all right, this is good. Eva, interesting story he just reeled out there. He too, you know, was deprived of an education, so he's in support of the Child Rights Act. And you clearly heard him, and I did make mention, this is a very big step and a very big shock for a lot of people. A mother saying the child should go out and hawk because other parents are not taking care of the child, but at least she is. How does the government go around? Whose responsibility is it to change the mindset that some people have about their children?
Okay, so there's going to be continuous, even if it's not been happening, continuous awareness being created by the government and by non-governmental organizations. Like the works Aula and the likes of FIDA are doing. We go to rural areas, we teach people, we explain to them the things they need to know. A lot of people are becoming more aware. I said a lot more people have value for education in the rural areas than they had 10, 15 years ago, because they can see the value it has brought to them. To add to what he said, I don't know if you've noticed those very young children who are always on the road, there's traffic and they rush to your car, simply wipe the windshield and all that. Today, a lot of those children are wild. They can even rob you if your glasses are wound down. These are some of the effects of having children out on the streets when they are not mature yet. I'm not sure their age mates who are also in good homes, who are being taken care of by their parents, would have the kind of guts that they have at this tender age. They love things. Some of them involve themselves in crime. When you go to remand home, you see young children who have been involved in different kinds of crime. So parents owe their children a duty of care. I emphasize, the parents owe their children a duty of care. It's not the other way around. A child is not meant to fend for himself or herself. They owe them that duty until they become adults. You can say, okay, go, leave the house at 18, take care of yourself, and let me have a breather. But at this point, they are still minors. It's either you or nothing else.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Ugo Sunday is going to be my final reaction to you, Eva. And he's asking, now that the family court has been established to protect the children's rights, what about those children who are on the street who have no parental care? Will the family courts protect them and give them government attention?
Can you say that again, please?
It says, now that the family court has been established to protect the rights of children, how about those children who are on the streets, the street children, I'd like to call them, who have no parental care? Will the family courts protect and give them government attention?
I cannot give straight answers concerning that because I do not have those answers right now. But the truth is that sometimes when we reach out to those kids who are on the street and don't have anybody, people suddenly show up. We have a number of children who are being taken care of by NGOs, by Orlan, Fida, and the rest of them, and we pay fees for those who truly do not have anybody taking care of them. Government establishments try. But the moment you show up in one of those children's life, they don't take them away. Their parents show up, the guardians show up, their relatives will show up. You'll be shocked.
Okay.
That's the only time they want to identify with the government, because they feel that, oh, this is a means of making money or ripping the government off. And the owners of the children will show up.
All right, we have
the government will keep trying.
Okay, the government would have to keep track. We had an Ahmadi on the line earlier on, but the line went off as we tried to get in touch. But that's the much we can take on the show this morning. Eva Ahmadi, a legal practitioner in Port Harcourt, has been my guest this morning. Thank you very much for availing your time to the conversation.
Thank you for having me, Jude.
Thank you very much. Well, we have to quickly get through something important. Yes. Now that you know Child Rights Act is enforced, please, please tell those who don't know. They shouldn't send their children to be selling banana and pineapple at 8 p.m. There's a fine line between having your child help you at your store whilst you're there during the day and having underage, particularly 10, 11, 12-year-olds, you know, even younger, you know, do these things for you. There's a law in place and it will be enforced according to the state government. Stay tuned.